I'm home. Amen. Thank you. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big hand clap. Come on, give him some praise. Praise him in this house. He deserved to be praised. He deserved to be magnified. Come on. Don't get tired of clapping your hands for the one that woke you up this morning. Oh, I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord above all lords. Come on. Come on, put your hands together. He kept you throughout the night. He kept you throughout the week. This is a time to honor him. This is a time to give thanks and praise unto the Most High God, the true and the living God. Come on, don't be tired. Don't be tired of praising your God. Don't be tired of praising him. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice and say hallelujah. Say it again, say hallelujah. Woo! Oh my God. My God, my God. You create the atmosphere of praise. You created, you created, you created. You create the atmosphere of praise. Created. Oh my God. He's worthy of our praise. Got trouble going on? He's worthy of our praise. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. I feel better because the first clap was for me. That was okay. But when we talk about Jesus, it's got to be louder. It's got to be more impactful. I know how to take my place with him. It's got to be louder. Amen. You may take your seat. While you're doing that, just smile at somebody. It's just a good thing to smile. Even when your body don't feel like smiling, smile anyway. Even when your face want to frown, smile anyway. Let folks question and say, well, why are you smiling? And then you can respond and say, it is just good to smile. Amen. Giving honor to God today to Pastor Walker. We call him Dr. Walker because he's a doctor in the Word of God. To his illustrious wife, Elder Francine. Come on, let's give it up for them. Come on, come on. Don't patty cake. Come on, don't patty cake. Give it up for them. Give it up. Come on, come on. Give it up for them. 38 years. Give it up. Give it up for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To my wife who has traveled with me on this trip here. Sister Carol, would you wave your hand and stand for everybody to see you? Hallelujah. We've been married a long time, and I told her, I said, girl, you know the Lord needed you to keep you in my life, to keep me on my knees praying. But I want to say to all the leadership and to you, the saints of God, we are indeed privileged to be here, had the opportunity, as Dr. Walker has said, that last year he and I was together. And, you know, I know he loved his wife because he talked a lot about Francine. My eyes was drooping one night and he was still talking about Francine. And so I say, Lord, I don't want to go to bed and be dreaming about Francine. And so when Dr. Walker had enough of me he said, well, I'm going to go in and call Francine. And I say, well, thank you, Lord. He's going to go in and call his wife. he's going to call his wife. But the Lord made sure that I didn't dream about Francine that night. But then the next day came, and he was still talking about Francine. I say, Lord, are you sending me a message here or something? I don't know, but something is going on here. But we do know that he deeply loved his wife and his family and you. And he talks about the church here and how he loves you. And you care for him. Thank you for caring for my friend. Because whenever you need somebody to come and handle some things, just call the prophet. And he'll come and take care of some things for you. You ain't got to worry about that at all. Not at all. But again, we're just so grateful. You know, it's good to laugh in church. There's a lot of stuff that's on the news. There's stuff in your families. Who got a perfect family in here? It's a good thing to be smiling in church. Can we say amen? As I was preparing myself and talking with the Lord, there are just times when I just like to be out in the yard and just, you know, get my hands in yard work and do some various other things when I'm not on the go. When I'm on the go, I'm on the go. But when I'm home, I'm home. And so as the Lord began to share with me about some things, I looked up what the number 38 meant, according to the biblical perspective. And here is what it says here. It says, biblical numerology means deals in the reference with slavery or having complete control or dominance over an individual or group. I say, okay, God, I got that. And then he spoke to me. He said, now, look up what the number 18th, because today is the 18th of this month-long 38-year celebration. So as I looked it up, it said here, it says, the biblical numerology meaning deals in reference to the things that deals with bondage, slavery, captivity, and self-dotum. So it's no accident that I've been assigned on the 18th day of the 38th year in this month to come and minister the grace of God to you. It's no accident. It talks about bondage. It talks about slavery. And I've come to realize that oftentimes we think more external than we do internal. And John, 3 John 2, it says this. You probably know it by heart. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even, somebody say even, as your soul prosper. Come on, somebody say even, as your soul prosper. Say it one more time, even, as your soul prosper. We don't attend to our soul like we do. Because the Bible says, as our soul even prospers, then things on the outside will begin to see prosper as well. We're at times running to prosper outside instead of first taking care of what's inside. And would you conclude with me just in this little thing here that there are things that are in your soul that have been stuck there for years. And you're basing still today your decision based upon what happened when you were growing up. Is there anybody out there hearing me today? And so the Lord began to deal with me. He says, son, I promised that I want to bless them, but many of them are struggling in their soul. Their soul being held captive. Their soul is in a place to where, oh, they smile and talk good when they come to church. You know the good lingo. How you doing? Praise the Lord. How's everything going? I'm riding high with the Lord. And then the Lord says, in this 38th year, moving into the 39th year, I want to set them free so that the next years ahead, they would begin to experience the freedom of God. But the only way that that can happen is that we've got to get serious with ourselves and start dealing with things that are in our soul that we brought from year to year to year. It's in our soul that when we respond to somebody or when we murmur, that's coming out of our soul. Because on the inside, there are things we haven't let go of just yet. Well, what could be some of the things that are in your soul that's holding you hostage? Abandonment. You may have felt abandoned while you were growing up. And so now you find yourself, you may be married, have some children, have a spouse, but yet that abandonment still comes up. And you still find yourself not being able to have the relationship that you see others having. But nevertheless, we don't deal with what caused the abandonment in our lives. And the longer we don't deal with what caused the abandonment going on in our lives, then we will look good on the outside. But on the inside, we're decaying. Because our soul is not prospering. And the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as your soul prosper. When was it the last time that you asked the Lord to prosper your soul? That's where I'm going. When was it? Title of my message is, Knock, Knock, Here We Come. Knock, knock, here we come. Because I cannot deal with what's going on in you. You have to deal with what's going on in you. And it's always easy to blame someone or something outside of you that's causing you to act the way that you're acting. But in actuality, it's what's on the inside that's causing you to behave the way that you're behaving. Well, preacher, how do you know, prophet, that you're hitting the mark? Because people just stare at you when you're talking like this. And they want to make sure that they don't turn around and look at the person sitting next to them. Like, I'm so glad he had the prophet to come today. Because I've been trying to relate this to you for a long time. Well, I come to tell you, you're in the right place this morning. Knock, knock. Somebody say, knock, knock. Here we come. Look at a neighbor and say, neighbor, knock, knock. Here we come. So God began to speak to my spirit. He says, son, there are things that are lodged in their soul that they refuse or have not given me permission to come in and transform that area in their life. I'm a transformer. He said, my son is a transformer, but they haven't let him, they heard the knock, but they haven't opened the door. Ah. Oh, Lord. They've heard the, but there's no response on the inside. And God is saying that I want them to open that compartment of their life. Rejection. Who rejected you so much that you made the decision, you know what? Nobody gonna get there anymore. And so now every decision that you make is gonna be based upon that rejection that happened way when you were small. You've gone to church Sunday morning, Wednesday, Tuesday, been on the prayer line. But my God, when you make a decision, it's based, nobody's getting there. Not even Jesus. And you wonder why that prosperity that the Bible talks about is not being lavished upon you like the Bible talks about he wanted to be lavished upon you. Because when you have a rich relationship, that's prosperity. Is there anybody hearing me today? When you have a rich relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're talking about prospering. Truly, you can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. But what's another one? That could have been molestation that has transpired. You've gone through a degree of deliverance, but there's still the residue of that that's taking place in you. And whenever you make a decision, you lock up. Say, nobody's getting there. But I come here to tell you that if you let Jesus in, he won't abuse you. Jesus will not misuse you. Jesus will not take an advantage of you, but you have to let him into your soul. It's one thing to sing those songs that dealing with your soul, but it's another thing to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and deal with what's in your soul. And if you would truly agree with me that there are just some things that are lodged in our soul that we can't self-medicate it. We tried self-medicating it. We tried self-knowledge and all the self-books to help us, but we keep going back to that place, locking it up. And whatever is locked up from the inside is going to be locked up from the outside. You can't get out and nothing can get in. Somebody say, knock, knock. Here we come. God says in these next years and to come for the foundation and for the ministry here, Cross Culture Church, he said, I want to show them things that they've never seen. I want to fulfill the promises that I promised them, but they never crossed over. But today, if you're real with yourself, today is the day that you can tell that struggle in your soul. Knock, knock. Here we come. Because it's in your soul that the fight and the struggle is going on. Oh, you got the word in your mind. The word is there, but let's talk about the struggle that's going on in your soul. Because the struggle in the soul will determine what you can receive from God. And oftentimes, we look at those that are prospering and being blessed as to why, God, why am I not? But the Holy Spirit keep coming and say, I want to deal with this. And I will be the first one to tell you that whenever the Holy Spirit comes to deal with an area in your life, that's the place where his grace is. Don't be like some folks. Some folks say, well, yeah, I know I have to deal with that, but I need for you to deal with it right here. Let's deal with this area here. No, no. When he comes, somebody say, when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes with his grace. He comes with the grace of God in order for that area to be ministered to. Isn't it something when you leave church and the service is high? And my God, you're saying, ooh, child, that was good. That was a good service. But even before you get home, and if you're with your spouse, it's on now. With your family member in the car, it's on now. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even, somebody say, even as my soul prospers. Why we don't talk about our soul? Why don't we talk to the Lord about the things that are going on in our soul? Why? Because we've conditioned ourselves to play hide and seek. And whenever someone start moving, whenever the Holy Spirit start moving close in that area there, now we begin to put up walls and say, oh no. Whew. Am I making any sense here today? I'm talking about your soul prospering. If we would begin to focus on our soul prospering, you remember Caleb and Joshua, right, in the Bible? And you remember that they were the two that came back among the 12 spies with a good report. You remember that. The other 10 had a bad report. You know why they had a bad report? Because lodged in their soul was them and not him. Lodged in the soul of Caleb and Joshua was him and not them. That's why Caleb and Joshua, they said, we be able to overcome it. We be able to overcome it. What's in your soul, you cannot deal with it by yourself. And you have to make a decision that what's in my soul, it's been there for such a long time, I can't deal with this thing by myself. But what I have to do is that I need to get with the Holy Spirit and talk with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need your help here. Growing up, I grew up in a family of 11. I'm the middle child. And so my grandfather, he would always take the words of our sisters. And they knew it, and the boys knew it. And whenever they wanted us to do what they wanted to do, and when we didn't want to do it, they would threaten us, the boys, and say, I'm going to tell our grandfather. And we would bow up like we were going to do something. But we knew that if they told our grandfather, we was going to get a whipping. So I remember after marrying my wife, Carol, I remember saying to her one day, I said, now, I'm dealing with some things, and I'm dealing with an area of manipulation of women in my life. Because I had sisters growing up. Now, I believe my wife asked one of my sisters one time, or she may have asked a few of them, is that story true? Well, quite naturally, my sisters are not going to confirm that it's true. But the brothers know that it's true. And so I said to her, I said, there may be times when you're asking me to do something and I'm going to be looking at you real hard and long. I'm going to be looking at you real hard and long because I'm trying to decide if you're manipulating me or not. But I expressed that to her. See, the only way to get healed is to start talking about what's going on the inside. If you don't want to get healed, then stay where you are. But I want to get healed. I want what God has for me. So I looked at her. I said, so I'm letting you know now because I need to let you know that if you see this look, take a deep breath and come to realize he might think I'm one of his sisters. This is real, y'all. This is real. And so I let her know up front what was going on in my soul. Now, I love to stand here and say I'm fully delivered, but I'm still working on it. I just love to say that. But I'm still working on it, but at least I made the acknowledgement and I began to make some changes with the help of the Holy Spirit. Because when you think that somebody is manipulating you, that can bleed on in trusting them and in trusting God. Oh, somebody say amen in here. Because when you start doubting people and start doubting the things, that stuff will bleed on in your relationship with God. Whew. Knock, knock. Here we come. And the Lord wants everyone that's listening under the sound of my voice that in these next 38 years, that you'll be freer than you've been in the 38 years in the past. But we got to deal with what's going on in your soul. Oh my God. You got to deal with it. It's easy to blame someone or something outside of you. But when you start taking number one responsibility, take responsibility. Take responsibility for your action. Here we find Joshua and Caleb. When they say, we are able, they were not just talking about the two of them. They were talking about God and them. And they say, we are well able to overcome this. Because their relationship with the Lord was different with the relationship of the other 10. And because the other 10, they were consulting and confusing their own selves, when they went over, all they saw was themselves as small. But Joshua and Caleb, they always looked at their big God. God, we can do this. We can do this, God. Joshua, yeah, Caleb, oh man, we can do this. Oh, they listen, I don't care how tall they are. My God is greater than them. My God is stronger than them. Caleb, Joshua, hey man, do you see what I see? Man, I see God mowing them down. I see God overcoming them. Oh my, Caleb, Joshua, oh my. Can we take this? God on our side, we can take this. Somebody say, God on my side, we can take this. Say it again. Say, God on my side, we can take this. Come on, say, God on our side, we can take this. Oh, God. We are well able. We are well able. We are well able. We are well able. Imagine that Joshua and Caleb, they had to keep their soul clean. They had to keep their soul magnifying the Lord. They couldn't allow what transpired after that, because the other 10 came up and they brought an evil report. You know why God did not allow them to go into the promised land? It's because they brought an evil report upon what God had promised them. God promised them the promised land. They came back and brought discouragement to the people of God. Be careful. Be careful when the pastor began to say, we're going to possess this land here because I heard from God. And because he heard from God, you need to get under his wings and begin to move forward. We all know the story of those that were not in agreement with God. It took 40 years. But when the 40 years was up, I can imagine, I want to talk to Caleb and Joshua, because they had to watch every last one of them fall off for them to move on further. You see, there's a lesson in that for our soul. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy... We have to take responsibility for what's going on in our soul. Number two, you remember the story with the man and his son. The man say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Now, I know that there may be a few perfect saints in here. I'm not perfect. But I do find myself from time to time saying, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know why we have to say those things? It's because the enemy of our soul wants us to move in the area of unbelief. And when you move into the area of unbelief, then what comes out of your mouth is going to be words of unbelief. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Somebody say with me, we are well able to overcome it. Say it again. Say, we are well able to overcome it. Because we are. Him and us, we are well able to overcome it. Taking responsibility. Dealing with unbelief in our lives, because we all have it. Whether we know it or not, we are made up of positive and negative components. And we must get in there and allow the Holy Spirit to come in. And we ought to make up in our mind, this struggle here stop today. I'm tired of struggling with this in my life. I'm tired of allowing those things that I have given permission to hold me back. How many of you want to go on a mission trip, but you've never been on a mission trip? Stand up. Stand, please. Yes, stand. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. You've never been on a mission trip, but it's your desire to go on a mission trip. Is that all? Come here, daughter. Yes, you. You're going to be the representation of everybody that's standing up. Stand right here. Amen. When I lay my hands upon you in the name of Jesus, I don't want you to worry about no finances. Tell the devil, don't talk to me about finances. Because when God says something, it's already done. You see, God has already gone before each and every one of you to your mission trip, taking care of everything, and he has come back to retrieve you, to now walk you to your mission trip that has already been ordained by him. Now get in mind the mission trip that you want to go on. Put it in your mind right now. Put it in your mind. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm just going to lay my hands on you. I thank you, Lord, that as she stands here for herself and for others, that God, they'll begin to dream and have an urgency to begin to move toward that mission trip that's on their heart. I give thanks to you right now in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Now, how many of you that stood up don't have your passport? Lift your hands. Lift them high. Go get your passport. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Go get your passport. Go get your passport. Go get your passport. There's a part that God play, and there's a part that we play. And it's time out for just waiting on God. You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. I hear jobs going on in here. Bishop, I hear jobs. How many of you are in a job, but you want a better job? Stand right now. Stand right now. You want a better job. My God. I just heard that. You want a job, but now you want a better job, or you like the job that you're on, but you desire an increase. Stand up. That too. But you desire an increase. Okay, first of all, I want to deal with those that desire another job. Now make sure that you're not the one causing problems on your job. Because you're not going to come back to me as a prophet and say, prophet, that word didn't come to pass in my life. And you're the one that's causing, throwing the stone at the glass house. You know that song that they sing? Don't throw no stone at the glass house, right? So if you're the problem child, you go ahead on and sit down right now, because this prayer ain't going to work for you. Because we can't go against God. And if you are, then you need to start repenting right now for your actions and your behavior right now. Because it's going to cost monies for what God want to do for this church in the next 38 years that's coming. And he want to funnel it through you. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone that stood that wanted another job, lift your hands. Another job. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone you see standing that lift their hands for another job, I thank you, Father, that you're going to minister to them. You're going to bring the job and them together. And they're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was you, God, that done it because I'm declaring what I hear you saying right now. The job is already provided. I thank you, Father, that their application, that people that are watching them, Lord, they will go to the forefront of the application, the forefront of everyone. And Lord, they're going to say, "Woo, we got to hire this person here. We got to bring this person on our staff right now in the name of Jesus." Okay, you may be seated. Now, for those of you that I've asked to be seated, this is for you too as well. When I served in the military, I would go and purchase my next rank, and I would stick it in my pocket. And every time I had my hand in my pocket, I would feel that next rank, and I began to give God thanks and glory to him. Just as sure as I'm telling you, I got the next rank. When I got promoted at that rank, I went and got another rank. But I want to tell you about the financial side of that too as well. I began to give God more in tithe and offering. I committed that unto the Lord. And it was actually my last promotion that for some reason, whoever was the clerk had something going on with them because they wanted to deny me my next promotion. I said, "All right. So here's what I'm going to do." I had some extra cash, and I gave that to the Lord. I said, "Lord, this is on behalf." I was specific with God. See, you got to be specific with God. I was specific with God. And I gave it, and the next thing I know, whoever it was, somebody found out that there was an error on the part of the military. I went to the next military school. While I was in the military school, I think it was maybe $10,000, $15,000 that they had deposited in my account because they had to back pay me from the time. That I started that. Is there anybody here hearing me? And I'm here to tell you today. Oh, it's recorded. I've got the paperwork that shows where they declined it, but then they had to come back and give it to me. I keep that paperwork because those are my memorials for my present and my future. That's to let me know that God, you're still God in my life. No matter how it's looking right now. So I want to encourage you for your next. I sense the presence of God here, right? My God. This thing is saturated here. I encourage you to get with your God. Talk to him. And if it means stretching yourself, stretch yourself. Because the world says believe it or see it first and then believe it. They got it backwards. You believe first and then you see it. And your belief is I'm going to begin to do extra pertaining to my finances. One more other. My wife is my witness here. So I heard the Lord said in year 8 to just reenlist for 2 years at a time. In the 10th year, he said, "You're not going to reenlist no more. You're coming out of the military." It came upon my spirit to start giving for the income that I wanted to make when I got out the military. Whatever it took, I started giving. I got records. I started giving. And I gave extra for 2 solid years. I was 45 days out. My wife said, "Now, are you sure you're supposed to get out?" I say, "Yes, I heard God." Didn't have a job lined up. Nothing. But the church that my family and I attended, it was between the 45th to the 40th day that now the senior pastor asked if I would come on board. I was so elated. I was so happy. I went home and I told my wife. You can imagine she was happy because I think she saw the end of our lives. But I believe that that helped renew her that this is just the beginning of our next season. This is the beginning of our next season here. And so God himself showed up, showed out. I had 40 more days. I think I had 40 more days left. And I said to the pastor, I said, "I'm still in the military." He said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Just come in when you can." You talking about the favor of God. You're talking about the favor of God. And so I'm saying to you, don't just want something and say, "I'm waiting on God." You keep doing something. And you'll see that whatever he's already promised you will just come to you. You'll see that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now. You see every hand, you know every person. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that they have testimonies. Testimonies after testimonies after testimonies of you, God, opening doors and making ways for them where there is no way. I thank you, Father, for that right now. I thank you, Father, that you've already gone before them and opened up those doors. They are already open. And now, God, they begin to see themselves rejoicing, not when it happened, but they're rejoicing right now that it's already done in Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Come on, clap your hands. And Dr. Walker, when the testimonies start coming in, text me and let me know. Many of you, it's coming in very soon. So watch the devil because he's going to try to get you off of your game. But keep praising God. Keep magnifying God. Come on. Keep giving God thanks. Open your mouth. That's right. Open your mouth and give God thanks. Thank him. Thank him right now. Thank him. Let's seal this deal here. Let's seal it. Was it not the prophet that God revealed to when everything was locked up and everybody was in the camp there? And the word came that tomorrow we're getting out of this camp. Tomorrow we're getting out of this camp. That's why you have to say to your soul right now, we're going to deal with what we need to deal with here. No longer are you going to be held hostage in my camp anymore. This place is reserved for God. This place belongs to God. Got a few more things. Let's take a seat. Hmm. Most people operate from calculation and other operates from revelations. You can't calculate God. If you can calculate God, it's not faith. But now when you start dealing with the revelation of God, well, how you know that you know what you know? I read it in the Word of God. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as my soul prosper." As I was talking with Dr. Walker in the last few weeks there, and he was talking about some upcoming trips that he's looking at. I said, "Well, Dr. Walker, count me in, because I believe that I'm to assist you on those trips." Now, you have to know something about me. My first mission trip, I guess I'm full of stirs today, but my first mission trip, my plane ticket was paid, and I had $20 in my pocket. And I say, "God, I believe that you spoke to me to go on that mission trip." Went on that mission trip, because I knew on the plane I was going to eat, so I wasn't worried about eating. You know, that's one of the things we as humans are concerned about, what I'm going to eat. Got to the mission trip, God had blessed my socks off. I look back today and wonder if I'd have made an excuse and say, "God, I don't have enough money to go on the mission trip." But I'm glad today, because God keeps giving me means and ways to raise funds to go on a mission trip. I know he's a real God. I know he's a true God. I know. But church, I had to deal with some things that was roaming around in my soul. And as I started praying, "Lord, prosper my soul." Say with me, "Lord, prosper my soul." Say it again. Say, "Lord, prosper my soul." Say it one more time. "Lord, prosper my soul." When your soul prosper, and when you are in the thick of things and things are not going your way, you're going to choose God's way versus your way. Because it's one thing, you know, you, Dr. Walker is my witness here. As we were traveling together, I said, "Dr. Walker, whatever it is that you need for me to do, if you want me to carry your Bible, carry your bag." Did I say that, Dr. Walker? I said, "That's what I'm here." He said, "Well, I'd like for you to take some pictures of me." I said, "No, he want me to take some pictures of him." But I said, "That's okay. I'm just teasing." So I took pictures of him to document what he was doing. I made myself of service. Wait a second, you're a prophet? Yes, but I'm a prophet that serves. I'm a prophet that serves. Don't ever be with someone and don't ask them, "Is there anything that you can do for them?" Is there anything? And I made sure. Now, on the day that we were preaching in different places, I couldn't tend to him. But I knew that he had the rest of the folks that was there to come get him to tend to him. Serving is one of God's attributes. And when we start serving others, it seems somehow that our soul rejoices. Ma'am, husband, wife? Yes, you.
Yeah, would you stand? Hold hands. Amen. Here is what I hear the Lord is saying. Okay. There's been some trying days and some trying times that you've been walking through. And the issues that you're dealing with even now, that's not the real issues. But it's time for the two of you to take a break and go off somewhere. I don't know when it was the last time that you did that, but it's time to do that. Here is what God wants to do when you go. He wants to speak to you. He wants to renew you. He wants to love up on you. He wants to minister to you. Because you know when the Lord ministers to you, there's a lot of smiles on your face. Am I right about that? I mean, it just seemed like the Shekinah glory of God just come on down where you are and ministers to you. So, before this season get out of here, plan a trip. Go on off. Here's the instructions. I don't want you to talk about no issues. You leave your issues back at home. What I want you to talk about is when you first met, how you felt about one another, how you dreamed about one another, how you said, you know, Lord, if that's the one, I'm okay. And watch God do the miraculous in the issues that you're trying to resolve right now, said the Spirit of the living God. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Come on, let's give the Lord. Come on, clap your hands. Clap your hands for the Lord. Woo! That's the God that we serve. Daughter, you standing in the middle there. Yes, you. What is your name? Diamond. Amen. Hey, listen, you are a diamond, and it appears that you're like a diamond in the rough. And it just seemed like the sandpapers is just coming at you at all kind of ways. And you just, oh, my God, what is going on here? It's just, I mean, just, oh, my God, that sandpaper, oh, on the diamond. Oh, my God. And it just seems like it's no end in it. But I'm here to tell you that God has already been to your end, and he's coming back walking you to the end of it. My Lord. To the very end of it. I even heard the enemy spoke to you and talking about this thing is hopeless. There is no hopelessness in God. God is not a hopeless God because he's already conquered. He's already overcome. What you see, this whole message was for you. We are well able to overcome it. Say with me, we are well able to overcome it in the name of Jesus, said the Spirit of the living God. Come on, clap your hands for the Lord. Clap your hands for us. Woo! Oh, my God. Every tongue that spoke ill, and they were ill, just ill words, to make you feel like, my God, it was just no, well, who do she think she is? You lift your head up and say, I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a child. I'm a child of the Most High God. That's who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a child. I'm a child of the Most High God. Come on, somebody here, get crazy for the Lord. Get crazy for the Lord. I got to keep telling you what I hear the Lord is saying. It seemed like even in family history, it just seemed like there's been takedowns of the enemy where the enemy took down certain ones and it just made it hard. Seemed like it made it hard for them to even come back and rot. rise back up again. Be that Joshua and Caleb. Get that Joshua spirit and say, we are well able, him and me. We're well able to overcome it. No, you're the redeemer for all the past generations that didn't see the revelation of the word of you, the redeemer. That's why. Woo! Oh, Lord. Oh, my God, my God. That's all right. Go ahead. You're the redeemer. God has chosen you. You're the redeemer to redeem that generational curse in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Woo. Oh, God. See, that's come from a soul. A soul is being released. That's what happens. That's the demonstration of what I've been talking about this morning. Oh. My God, my God. Oh, God. Till you can get down to the soul matters of things. Make up in your mind and make up in your heart. Lord, we need to get to the soul matters. To those things in our soul. Even when you were growing up, you're not the victim no more. You're not the victim. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, I cast off of her that victim mentality in the name of Jesus. You're not the victim. You're not the victim. You're not the victim. You're not the victim. You're the victorious one. You're the victorious one. You're the victim. Oh, come on. Don't patty cake with the Lord. If you're going to clap your hands for him. Oh, my God, my God, my God. You're the victorious. You're the victorious one. Victorious. 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 Ah. Woo. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My God, I'm telling you about what God is about to do for Cross Culture Church in these next 38 years. Here's the demonstration right here. What you see right here is what's going to be taking place. Freedom in the, you're going to see freedom. Freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. These next 38 years. Ah. Oh, God. You get ready to see freedom. Dr. Walker, freedom. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My God. Sir, would you come? Would you come? Yes, you. Would you come? Yes, 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 yes. Would you come? Would you come? Stand right there. Hallelujah. You know, I see some people, and these people here, you know, they kind of like walk up to you and just brush you without saying anything. Like they just, you know, want you to just do something. And the Lord said that he heard your conversation with him. Every last one of them that brushed themselves up against you. God is going to give them a dream. And they're going to wish that they never came up and brushed up against you. Every last one of them. Because they didn't realize we all don't have it together, but we know the one who do. And all he's looking for is for us to be a participant with him while we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. You get ready, because there are some partnings that's going to be coming your way. And you're going to hear it and you're going to see it, said the Spirit of the living God. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Woo! Oh, God. Oh, God. Talking about soul deliverance. It's time for our soul to be delivered and set free. Tired of holding on to those things that have held us back. Let's be like Joshua and Caleb. We are well able to overcome it. Knock, knock. Here we come. Knock, knock. Here we come. God is not wondering if he wants to prosper you. He's already declared that. Dr. Walker, would you and Elder Francine, would y'all stand? Sir, ma'am, in this next season, you're going to see reliefs of from God like you've never seen in the past. You thought you saw things in the past? That things happened in the past? No, it's right ahead of you. And although at times it's going to feel uncomfortable, but I'm here to tell you, he's already walked that out, and he's come back to walk you through it. You're going to see things begin to just happen. Literally happen. And you're going to know that was God. Dr. Walker, the trips that you've already have planned and that you haven't even thought about planning yet, but God's going to drop those in your spirit. You're going to watch people begin like never before support those trips, because God says, I've got a blessing for everyone that comes in and support what I've called for you to do. Literally. There's going to be some that are not even of this fold that's going to hear of what's getting ready to take place and what God has called for you to do. And even the different ministries that you're raising up and you're teaching and things of that nature there, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. I know you're working on your health, just like I've been working on my health. Snoring, you know, got my CPAP, I got mine, you know, things like that, you know. So, we ain't got to raise the roof off the house. You know, we ain't got to do that. That's just the Lord saying to you, I want to make sure that you fine-tune as you're moving forward. That's all I've been doing, just been fine-tuning. Oh, I had me some lemon and water this morning, hot water this morning. Yes, I did. I drank my lemon hot water this morning. That's why I got all this energy now. So afterward, I'll be ready to eat. Afterward, you know. you know, thing like that, you know. So I ain't eat nothing. I came here empty, you know. But you will go some. Won't go all, but you will go some. Would you be okay with that? Because God got some things that he have for you. And the women folks, you ain't seen nothing yet. The women folks, when they come to grips that I got to deal with those soul matters, you're going to be God's instrument. And you're going to get in there. Now, some, you're going to have a chisel and a hammer. I'm going to tell you up front, it's going to be a chisel. And you're going to remember, you know, that prophecy, I'm going to have a chisel and a hammer. Because they're going to keep moving on you. But even while they're moving, you keep chiseling. Oh, my God, I felt that thing. While they're moving, you keep chiseling away. You're going to look back and you're going to say, as a matter of fact, you need to take pictures of every last one of them. That's all coming to you right now. Because when they get to where God has for them, that picture is totally different than what they're seeing right now. Literally. But sir and ma'am, don't ever think that God brought you here and he won't do what he's promised you. You've been moving and turning, getting people in their place. And you've been doing that. And now what God is calling in these next 38 years, you ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to rejoice and rejoice and rejoice. And the people are going to rejoice with you. And let me say this. The enemy is always wanting to work on us when we're doing the things of God. He got his job to do. We got our job to do. And I believe that it was Smith Wigglesworth. One night, the enemy came in his room. You remember that story? It started disturbing him. He woke up. He said, oh, that's just the devil. And he went right on back to sleep. That's what you do. You go right on back to sleep. Said the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Come on. Come on, clap your hands for the Lord. Come on, come on, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet, get that blood running. Y'all get that blood running. I'm the one been walking around all morning. Yeah, get that blood running. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Put your hands together. One more time for the Lord. One more time. You know when them Georgia Bulldogs are out there fighting. My God. And then them Crimson Tide comes in. Y'all don't stop clapping. Lord, what's going on? Carol, did you see that? Did you see that? My Lord. I'm going to tell this story here. I'm going to tell this story here. So last year when I was gone with Dr. Walker, I came up and I spent the night. Is that right? Yeah, I spent the night. And so he likes to wear hats. And so he said, Prophet, you got a hat? I said, no. So he gave me a hat that had Georgia all the way on it. I almost fell to the floor in his house. I'm like, Lord, I hope none of my other friends don't see me holding on to this Georgia hat. Got Georgia written all over it. I say, oh, Lord, you know I'm a Crimson Tide. Oh, Lord, something is going on here. Oh, my Lord, I'll get weak in my knees there. So I made sure that when I was passing through the airport, you know, I had it locked down. Nobody didn't know that. And I may have wore it maybe once or twice while I was over there. And I snuck it back into the country again. And so I saw it the other day and I heard some say, wear it. I said, I ain't wearing that. Oh, Lord. So I said, what I will do is that I will return it to its rightful owner. Oh, God. Oh, God. So I do have your hat, sir. I need to return it to it, right? Because I'm telling you, those other crimson hats that were in there, they were looking at me saying, what's up, bro? What's up? I say, I'm going to handle it. I'm going to take care of it. But isn't it good that we can have good football teams and have, you know, I love football and I enjoy it. And, you know, who knows? Maybe this year. All my friends from the other team keep saying next year. What they don't know is that they prophesied it won't be this year. It's going to be next year. And it seemed like next year never comes. All right, I am saved. Dr. Walker, would you come, sir? Let's put your hands together and receive Dr. Walker.